from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Hope it was a nice weekend for you on this mid-late July summer day. We're getting some nice weather again. We get some Royals baseball back, which was, well, fantastic, quite frankly. All kinds of good stuff over the weekend. We get the Open Championship, the British Open in the books. We've got Chiefs training camp well underway. We're going to get a report from Chiefs training camp with TJ Cleland of Eyewitness Sports, 12 News Sports, I should say, a little bit later. Thanks for listening to us on KFH. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. That'll be fun. And if you are watching us now, we're going to test this today. Be able to get a video interview. So TJ will help us with our maiden voyage on that from St. Joe at Chiefs camp. Looking forward to that as well. Tommy, how are you? How was your weekend?
It was good. Good to see you today. Glad to be here. Looking forward to talking with TJ a little bit later from Chiefs camp. I know that he's up there enjoying getting a chance to see these players getting ready for the season. Weather should be good at training camp. I know that for mid late July, you can't ask for a whole lot more. So looking forward to talking to him and getting into the Royals. It couldn't have been a better weekend for them. Sure. So looking forward to getting into all of that today.
Yeah, it is nice to have the Royals back. It is certainly nice to see them come out and do exactly what they're supposed to do and sweep the White Sox. Seth Lugo in the final leg of that series going a complete game. They had fantastic starting pitching throughout that series. And they build up a lot of momentum and they get themselves into a comfortable spot in the standings. We'll dig into all of that and look ahead now as we're just about a week away from the trade deadline. And the more they can do now, if you are of the belief that they need to be aggressive at the deadline, the more they can do now, the more likely it is they're aggressive at the deadline, I would think. And so here we go, maybe a chance to see some potential additions on display. Yesterday, Tommy Pham, two times in that series, went 2-4. His batting average up to .270. Staring at you right in the face in a series like that. So we have all of that on the plate today. I'm curious about Chiefs camp. You've got some buzz. One of the rookies that we talked a lot about last week, kind of, I think, probably the darling so far of the full team workouts. But we can get into it. We're going to give away some HTO today as well on the program, some iced tea, some coffee for you, which will be fun. We have all kinds of good stuff for you. Tommy and I took in a Wind Surge game over the weekend, which was nice. You got a little rock and roll concert coming tonight, which will be nice. We're going to see the Offspring. I'm excited. I don't know what to expect, but I'm excited.
I am too. I'm looking for, I hope I can stay up that late. I don't know if I'm as like punk rock enough, like as I used to be able to, you know, hang out and be able to do that show, but I'm looking forward to it.
You think it's punk rock? I don't know if it's punk rock, but it'll be fun. I've looked at a couple of videos and it looks like they can still go. It looks like they can still throw down pretty good. So that'll be fun. Looking forward to that. Royals, Tommy. I mean, I don't, you know, like at some point you just like, that was about a perfect weekend. Right. And we've talked about this stretch, these games, a bunch of series in a row against teams that haven't been very good this year. They'll still get, what, another 13 straight games against teams without a winning record. So this is the time. They go up against the White Sox. They allow 3 runs in the series. They score 17 runs in the series. Took them a little longer yesterday. So you sweat it for a few innings. But, you know, it really wasn't yesterday. You just kind of were waiting for them to take the lead. Because when Lugo's going like that, and they let him go a complete game, which was nice to see, it's just like, I mean, come on. Like, they're going to be fine. They're going to get some runs late, and it's no big deal, and everything will be good. Frazier continuing to lead off, which I think is, you know, of note to watch. I think the Garcia experiment, even though he went 2-for-4 yesterday, is probably done at the top, which I agree with. I still think you got to find one. So I think if we're looking at a priority list, that's the one that you look at the most. But I do still think you could use a bullpen arm. I do still think there are other needs. You could probably use an infielder, quite frankly, just as a backup piece, which we know they're willing to trade for historically. So there's a lot to watch over this next week, but before any of that, you want to see them win baseball games. And, you know, that comes first and foremost as we try to predict the future. If they can't do that, it doesn't matter. And they did. They beat a bad team. They beat them 3 times in a row at home. That's what they should do. They get to continue a homestand now. They'll play Arizona for 3 games. You know, we haven't seen Marsh post-break. Remember, they pitched him kind of a relief inning on, what was that, Friday? To just keep him loose, but you get Reagan's in here, you get Waka again, and here we go. We're chugging along in the second half. But I mean, I think perfect is not overstating. I think that was about a perfect series.
Yeah, it was. And I think in a variety of different ways. I mean, really the best offensive weapon for the opposition was a guy that you've been rumored to want to trade for at the trade deadline. That was Tommy Pham. He was 5-of-13 in the 3-game set. And you batted leadoff in all 3 games for the White Sox. He's somebody that you could probably acquire, and it probably wouldn't cost you a whole lot to bring him on board. And he showed you in that 3-game set that he can still go, he can still contribute. And like I mentioned, he was probably their best offensive weapon consistently. He went 2-for-4, 1-for-5, 2-for-4 in the 3-game set for the White Sox, had to hit at least one in all 3 of those games. So even in that regard, that was positive for Kansas City. The pitching was really good. Of course, Seth Lugo pitched a gem yesterday, his very first complete game in his entire career. And we'd spend a lot of time talking about what happens if Seth Lugo takes a step back in the second half of the season. And he pitched probably his best game of the entire season yesterday. I mean, that's the first time he's gone an entire 9-inning game, not only this season, but in his entire career. So, you know, that was definitely, I think that to an extent, he maybe silenced some people, including me, that was concerned that maybe he would take a little bit of a step back moving forward. So that was part of it. And then, offensively too, the Royals were able to come out of the All-Star break with their bats swinging. Bobby Witt Jr. had a really good offensive weekend. He continues to show why he's one of the best all-around hitters and can do a variety of different things, not only in the American League, but in all of baseball. And yeah, you feel really good overall about where the Royals stand going into this series against the Diamondbacks. They're 55-45. They're 10 games over 500. And, you know, they're now within, what, 5 games of the Guardians? They've got a wild card spot. They're back within shouting distance of not only the wild card, but you know, they could still contend for a division championship. And so that's back within their sights. The Guardians have fallen off a little bit as of late. And so here we go. I mean, this is a stretch to baseball for the Royals that's winnable for them, and they can make a lot of things happen.
You know, I don't want to look ahead. This is me personally, as I'm trying to digest, you know, the Royals season. I don't want to look too far ahead to Cleveland. First, just play better baseball consistently. I think the Royals, to some degree, are still playing against themselves. Get through the trade deadline. But in the back of my head, Cleveland, yes, is run downable. Now, if they continue at the streak they were on early in the season, that may not be the case. But, you know, if they falter at all, yes, you could, in theory, chase them down. There are basically four playoff spots there for the Royals that they can look at. I don't think any of them are out of reach. But right now, the wild cards are the ones that are the most attainable. The Yankees have also not played well. And you'll play games against the Guardians specifically. They've already played quite a few against Minnesota, but they got a lot coming up against Cleveland. And let that take care of itself. First things first, though, and this is what I mean for me personally, play well, beat bad teams. Try to not be, and they may be in the middle of a hot streak, and that may be what we're seeing here, but like it would be nice to see them just get consistent enough here where they don't go through those stretches where, you know, where things sort of fall out a little bit. And that's sort of what I'm watching for. Okay. You swept the White Sox at home. That's exactly what you should do. You did it in relatively dominating fashion. Exactly what you should do. It's a great betting weekend. If you just took the Royals money line all through that series, got plus money, you know, the Diamondbacks are not as bad as the White Sox are. I don't know that that's still the way you'd want to attack this next series, but why not? You know, like now can you make it a 6-game win streak? Sure. I mean, I think you can. You get them at home. You get them at home, then you get the Cubs at home. Can you make it 8 out of 9? Like, can you do those kinds of things against bad teams? And we really haven't seen that stretch out of this team this year. Like, I mean, maybe we have. Maybe they've won 8 out of 9 if we went back and looked back. But it feels like a different universe where they've just come out and been dominant like that. It's felt like a really long time. Now, they've stayed in there. They've had nice stretches. But, boy, they have a chance to really pile it up and just build some. What day in this does the – is the deadline the 30th or the 31st? It'll be either next Tuesday or Wednesday. You've got 6 to 8 games between them against bad teams. Boy, you want to talk about – creating some momentum and some buzz for the fan base. You win most of those games. You make a move at the top. I mean, it's going to be buzzing for the Royals if they can take advantage of this, which will be great because ultimately it does matter that they just build up enough momentum to get fans and butts and re-energize the fan base, which is why I've always thought they needed to be aggressive. But it starts with winning these baseball games. They did a great job of that against a bad team. They got the wins. They'll continue it tonight. That pregame coverage begins at 7:00 tonight against the Diamondbacks. He had a Bobby Witt Jr. game where he sort of took over offensively. He had a Vinny Pasquantino game yesterday. He was 2 of 4. And then the bottom of the lineup sort of, you know, piled it up there as they had their big eighth inning where they scored 3 runs and that's all they needed. I love that they let Lugo finish that game. They could have easily yanked him after they got the lead and gone to MacArthur or something. But that's where you're like, don't you dare. Don't you dare pull him out of that game, and they didn't. And Lugo's equipped for that. And honestly, that might be good for Lugo to get that out. You know, after a couple little, you know, blips, and he wasn't great coming in, you know, in that last start out of the All-Star game, that probably feels pretty good. That might mean something to him to get out there and be able to finish that game off, especially if he's never done it before, which is kind of hard to believe the way he's gone the last few years. It's kind of hard to believe he hadn't done that this year, quite frankly. But, you know, that could mean something to his psyche moving forward.
Yeah, I think it could. And again, like this has been a pitcher that really hasn't had a ton of longevity as a starter. He's been a reliever. He's been a guy that I think has always wanted to be a high quality starter in Major League Baseball. Now he's been given an opportunity over the last couple of seasons or so to show what he can do and show that he can pitch, you know, into late inning situations. But he's never really been given the opportunity to go the distance and pitch an entire complete game. He did that yesterday and was able to deliver. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think that the fact that Matt Quatrero gave him the opportunity to continue that and to finish out what he started, I think that does show the faith that Quatrero has in Seth Lugo. And that's important coming off of a start right before the All-Star break that was not good for him, where there had been questions about, okay, is Seth Lugo going to come back down to earth a little bit as the season progresses? And once we get into August and then in September, and, you know, will there be a push to maybe try to save him a little bit and maybe not pitch him quite as much? And will we see maybe shorter outings from him, maybe wanting to try to pace him a little bit? That wasn't the case yesterday. And I think Quatrero kind of slammed the door on that a little bit. Like, hey, he is our guy and we feel like he can go the distance. He can pitch a complete game and we have no concerns about him whatsoever. I think that the way that Lugo pitched yesterday and the confidence and the faith that Quatrero had in Lugo to keep him in the game and let him pitch the entire game, I think that was as strong of an endorsement
sure
that Quatrero could have in Lugo as you could possibly have. And that was Quatrero saying, we wholeheartedly believe that what happened with Seth Lugo right before the All-Star break was an anomaly. We don't believe that that's a trend. That's an anomaly. That was as big of an endorsement as you could have possibly gotten.
It helped that he was insanely efficient, right? He finished the game at 103 pitches. So there was no issue there with letting him go. That certainly helps, but I agree with you. I think there is a significance to that for sure. Kent asks a good question. He says the team has good chemistry. Who goes to get a player like Pham? Because Pham has a history of, you know, being polarizing, I guess we could say. We're going to answer that after the break, because I think it's a good question as far as the urgency at the top of the lineup. But let's do that when we come back. All this baseball coverage, by the way, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We're going to come back and we'll talk about that question. Pham, you just faced him. What about a guy like that? What does this team need to be in the market for, afraid of to some degree, of mixing it up a little bit? We'll get into that as we make our way toward that trade deadline, now just about a week away. We've got all kinds of fun stuff. TJ Cleveland will check in from St. Joe at Chiefs camp, that coming at the top of the hour. And if you're watching on our video streams, you'll see that via video for the first time here on Sports Daily as we are growing and expanding into the video streaming world. You can find the show right now at 12 News Connected on Facebook, on YouTube, all kinds of different ways to check out the show. You can still call the IHOP hotline the good old-fashioned way. Jad Chambers is there for you, 869-1240. We're going to come back. More Sports Daily right after this.
Kansas, including Wichita. This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Listening to Sports Daily, even after you park the car, with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can just download the app or visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH. Download the Odyssey app today to get started. That'll be an easy way to listen to us. My parents are leaving town right now, and I should have showed them how to download the Odyssey app, because I gave them the radio frequency and they're going to drive out and they'll lose it. But, you know, at some point I'll tell them, hey, just get the Odyssey app. You can listen to us anytime, live on the air, back in the past, and podcast form. We'll have TJ Cleveland, a 12 News, joining us from Chiefs camp, coming up at the top of the hour. Looking forward to that for a variety of reasons. One, the buzz of Chiefs camp early. How's it been? And two, we're going to try a video interview on our video stream for the first time here. So looking forward to that. Thanks to everybody who might have been, We kind of went spur of the moment on Saturday to test some of this out. So if you heard us, you got a little inside radio there. All right, Tommy. So Ken brought up a good question. He says, why bring in a player like Pham when the chemistry is so good? Pham is a bit polarizing. He's had some moments over his career. And I would say, I would say it this way. Like, A, if there wasn't good chemistry, maybe that would be concerning. But I don't think anybody's coming into that clubhouse and disrupting anything that this team has going right now. It has two unquestioned leaders right now. And Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. So nobody's going to they're not going to let anybody mess that up. And probably Vinny Pasquantino fits that mold too. And then you've got the pitchers and you've got, I don't think there's anything that's going to be a problem there, because if it was, you could just send him packing in theory. The problem, Ken, and the reason this is so urgent, it doesn't have to be Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham is just a nice fit. But man, you're running guys out there at the top of your lineup. Adam Frazier, 286 on base percentage. Mikel Garcia, 286 on base percentage. Maybe you think, well, what about Michael Massey? Maybe they could use him. 287 on base percentage. Like they don't really have anybody on the roster outside of Vinny Pasquantino, Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez. We floated out the idea of leading off Freddie Fermin, which I still think is an interesting thought concept, but he's not quite an everyday player for whatever reason. I'm not saying he needs to be or anything like that. They don't have it on the roster. Unless you're going to lead Bobby Witt Jr. off, or unless you're going to do something outside the box, like lead Vinny Pasquantino off, I don't think that they have what they need in that spot. And it is a clear need, because they have two, if not three, really good hitters immediately following that could create early offense that allows this team to do a lot more things. So, you know, as much as it is about Tommy Pham, specifically Tommy Caster, it's more about the urgency to get something done there, because it is such a hole in this lineup this year, and has been and continues to be.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that argument about his personality and some of the disruptions over the course of his career, that's all true. And there have been well-documented situations that he's been in that have been issues and things like that. That's all well and good. But I would look at, you know, where he's at right now in his career. He plays for the worst team in Major League Baseball. So if I'm Tommy Pham, I know he's brash. I know that he's got a history of conflict and confrontations and all of that. But if I'm him, even with that personality, even with that attitude, if you're going to give me the opportunity to leave the worst team in Major League Baseball with the potential to join a contender, to join a team that could make a playoff run, to play playoff baseball, with the idea that, okay, you're going to be joining a team that has really good chemistry, that has, you know, good relationships, and that you've got, you know, these unquestioned leaders in Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr., and you've got players that they gel well together and they get along and there's not drama in the clubhouse. I would take that in a heartbeat. I would say, look, I'm going to try to put my personality aside. I'm going to try to behave myself and keep my mouth shut and not, you know, be a distraction. If I can get out of the worst team in baseball and go join a contender, I'll do that every day of the week and do everything I can to not be a distraction.
And, you know, sometimes there's like maybe that weird edge can be a good thing, right? Maybe you remember in Major League 2 when they bring in the Japanese player and he'll like run through a wall and he's crazy and everything, and it kind of is contagious a little bit. Like it's not all bad either, especially when you when you've got the good leadership. But man, I'm telling, like, we bring him up because he's such a natural fit. He's a leadoff hitter. Now, can he play center field? I think he probably can. I mean, I think he can. Where did he play in that series consistently? Left, right? Did he ever play any right field? I mean, I don't know if he can still do that these days, but it's worth a shot. Because against, you know, overall, his on-base percentage is higher basically than anybody besides Bobby Witt Jr. It's about the same as Salvador Perez. Even if you just wanted him as a platoon player, his on-base percentage, Tommy, against left-handed pitching 377, and it's still 330 against right-handed pitching, which still slots in ahead of everybody, basically, besides Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. He's just such an offensively an easy fit for this team. You can DH him a little bit if you feel like you need a little defense out in the outfield. He gives you another rotation piece. Maybe he's just like, there are just things you can do. I would say the biggest question about him specifically is who plays center field, because I do think you'd like to keep Renfro and Melendez in the lineup. But that, you know, for me, that's about the only question. He's not going to cost you anything, I don't think. I mean, the White Sox could try to hold out, but no, he's 36 years old. But like, the thing he still does well is exactly what the Royals need somebody to do. It's just such an obvious fit, I think, is the reason that we keep going back to him, is because offensively, I mean, he'd be perfect. Exactly what the team needs.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that there also is an argument that could be made, and I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a second. I talked about, you know, how he's kind of got the one side where, okay, there's the history of the confrontations and the bad attitude and that sort of thing, where that could potentially be a distraction in a Royals clubhouse that seems like, by all accounts, they're very close. Playing devil's advocate for a second, could there be a scenario where the Royals could actually use that edge to their advantage?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you look at somebody like Salvador Perez, for example. Nicest guy in the world, always has a smile on his face. Bobby Witt Jr. is always smiling, that sort of thing. You know, think of somebody, and I'll use the late, great Yordano Ventura as an example for the Royals. Guy was beloved by his teammates. He had a little bit of an edge to him, right? Like, he was kind of mixing it up with opponents, and like, there were situations where like, there were some times where it didn't always go well, you know, like there were some dust ups from time to time, but his teammates had his back. And I'm not suggesting that the Royals lack an edge, but what I'm saying is that I wouldn't necessarily just like immediately default to, if Tommy Pham comes onto this team, that it would, like, if there was that attitude that Tommy Pham brings, that would automatically mean it would be to like the detriment of the Royals, that it would automatically be a negative. Maybe that would mean that the entire team gains a little bit more of an edge, you know, that maybe the team becomes a little bit more like Tommy Pham, and they become a little bit more scrappy, and I don't know, like, it could go one of two different ways. Like, time would tell if he ends up joining that team, but I don't know if you could absolutely just default to, oh, here comes a known clubhouse cancer of a guy, and it would automatically turn out bad for the Royals.
It you don't know that it will, but there's just very little risk in it, right? Like, would I rather have Jazz Chisholm? Yes, I'd rather have Jazz Chisholm for a lot of reasons. One, he's younger. You could use him for a while. You don't have to worry about the defense as much. Like, all those things. Yeah, I'd rather have him, but he's going to cost you a whole lot more. We don't even know if he's on the market. Of course Tommy Pham's going to be on the market. Why would he not be on the market? And so that's the big thing. And they just happened to play him in a series where he played well and showed you at the top of a lineup exactly what he's capable of. He is offensively a perfect fit for what the Royals need. Defensively, I'm not sure, but I think you solve that problem as you go. I think you figure that out as you go. Isbell's been an asset. Isbell's been, not Jason Isbell, Kyle Isbell, has been an asset out there. And so, you know, you just, that's fine. If you can figure out a way to do that, maybe you have defensive replacements late, maybe you know, platoon him in with, you know, all the different ways they could format the lineup. Maybe he is just a player that you put in there against lefties, and you let the other things work themselves out. That's still better than what they've got, which is a bunch of dudes that don't get on base at all leading the lineup for this team. Bobby Witt Jr. is the answer to this question, but we know now, after a conversation with JJ Piccolo, that ain't happening. Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't want to. So you don't. I mean, I get it. Right. I get why the obvious answer has not been there. I would hope in the offseason maybe they revisit that possibility with Bobby Witt Jr., or he continues to develop at such a pace that you're just going to leave him in the middle of the lineup because he's that kind of player too. But that ain't happening this year. So what's the next best solution? Well, the cheapest and a perfect offensive fit would be a guy like Tommy Pham. Are there other options? Probably so. Will there be more options that come up in the next week? Probably so. And so we're just pondering. But the main thing is they have got to find somebody to hit at the top of that lineup. Did Adam Frazier have two walks yesterday? Am I being unfair? They're not getting anything out of the position. It's just constantly.
They haven't all season. They haven't gotten production all season.
It is such a glaring hole.
He had one walk yesterday and two at bats.
Yeah. And I'm just going to look at the other game, cause I know they didn't get anything in the, the first game of the series either. Okay. So 0-for-3, 0-for-2 Frazier in that series. And then in the first,
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Game 0-for-4. So a collective 0-for-9 in the leadoff spot. And Michael Garcia hasn't been much better in that spot. Like that stuff right now, those are the little details that you massage out. And does that, does not making a move there keep the Royals out of the postseason? I have no idea. Like there's no telling. There are other things that'll be more. But once you get there, it could make the difference in winning a series.
It becomes that much more glaring when the team that you're playing, their leadoff guy is for sure on the trade block. And he goes 5-of-13 in the 3-game set on the worst team in baseball. And he's the only part of that team that's producing. And you've been linked to him. And it's just, you can contrast that and look at what he's doing. And he's 36. And I know he doesn't play center field. Two of the games in that series, he played right field. He played left field in the other game. So I know that, but you could platoon him. You could find ways to make it work. I'm less concerned about which position in the outfield he's playing and more concerned about him getting on base in the leadoff spot, which he would absolutely do. That would be the reason why you would bring him on board. I don't have any level of concern right now about the way that he has acted, like his personality in previous years. Based on what I just said, number one, it's either he's going to tone it down because he wants to be a part of a contender, or number two, I think that the team rallies around him because I think that he brings a little bit more of a competitive fire.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. That does it, because you can just let him go. Like if that actually became a problem, which again I find highly unlikely. I mean, just bye. Like, see,
yeah, and I don't think that his attitude or his, like the way that he's been in the past will like derail this team. Like, I don't think I don't think he'll be the reason why the Royals don't make the playoffs if they don't.
Well, look, I don't want to overstate it, but I will. They couldn't bring in. There's not a player. You couldn't bring in Shohei Ohtani and change the culture of the clubhouse this year. Right. Yeah. Like there's not a player that is going to like step in and question or challenge the leadership on this team that starts with Salvador Perez, you know, and goes to Bobby Witt Jr. And that like nobody in baseball would challenge that right now this year. Right. And Tommy Pham is very much a 1 year proposition for now. Like, you're not even worried about anything besides how he can help you right now. I don't think you want to run an outfield. I don't think of Melendez, Pham, Renfro defensively. That would be the concern. There's no question. But I do think, and I'd have to look, you know, I'd have to look at all the splits, but I do think you can platoon that combination of guys with Isbell or whatever defensive, you know, dynamo you want to put out in center to find it and be able to do what you need to do. You've got a DH to play with. Freddie Fermin, Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino can all play a couple of different spots. So I think you could get there. And look, again, the option could absolutely present itself over the next week where it's like, oh, okay, well, and this guy can play center field, right? It's not that he's the only option. He's just the cheapest option that makes a ton of sense offensively. You may have players that we aren't picturing right now, and look at the other trade that the Royals made. Like, that was a future and now move, right? And have we even seen Harvey pitch yet? Did he pitch in the series? I don't think
he has. He clearly didn't pitch yesterday. We've seen him so far.
I mean, just take a quick look. But anyway,
we saw him on Saturday. He didn't have a great outing. He only pitched an inning, gave up a run, two hits, had a walk. That was the only time we saw him.
So he's got some work to do, but that was an aggressive move. There may be an aggressive move. You may get a player where it's like, this Royals sell the farm for a center fielder. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be an appetite for it if they win a whole bunch of games right now. And I almost never say this, but I'm here for it. I'd say sell the farm. Go all in this year because it will help. Because next year, the window is extended. Maybe you can hold on to Blake Mitchell. Everything else, I think, is on the table for the Royals. But there will be a lot to do. We can talk more about that. We'll preview tonight's game. We'll look at it from a betting perspective coming up in a little bit. We'll have TJ Cleland, top of the hour. We'll take a quick bird's eye look around the rest of the sports. We'll get Tommy's take on the Open Championship, anything else that maybe caught our attention over the weekend. That's all coming for you. It's Albrecht and Caster at Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, let's set up a text giveaway for you. How about some HTO? You can enter to win right now. You'll get a free iced tea from either the Wichita locations, East or West Wichita, 13th and Tyler West, 121st and 127th and 21st East, or in Derby, there by the Dinosaur Park on Rock Road. Check all three out. You can get that free tea. You'll work at any of those three. And you can also get a free rain coffee. Iced coffee, hot coffee, all the fancy drinks, all the espresso stuff. It's all there for you. That's good in Derby or East Wichita. All you got to do to win that right now is text the keyword TEA to short code 20357. That's T to short code 20357. You can enter once a day. Looking around the other sports headlines real quick, Whit Merrifield signs with the Braves. So that is not an option any longer for the Royals, by the way. What'd you think of the British Open? You good with Shoffley? I kind of had it on, kind of trying to pay attention. I was a little busy this weekend, but I mean, you good with the way that tournament played out? I know it was kind of up and down for a lot of guys.
Yeah, I like it. Xander Shoffley had a great final round. He came on strong at the very end. Shoffley won the PGA Championship, so it's his second major of the year. I think that he has challenged Scottie Scheffler for maybe the best year of a golfer this season. I mean, I think it's between him and Scheffler for sure. And I think it's also, you know, really notable that an American won all four majors. Scheffler won the Masters, Schauffele won the PGA and the Open Championship, and Bryson DeChambeau won the U.S. Open. So a clean sweep of the four major championships by Americans. So pretty notable.
Well, I mean, Scheffler, where did Scheffler end up? Because he didn't stay in it enough.
He was top 10. He finished top 10. He had a bad day on Sunday. Didn't really particularly end well. But even though he didn't play his best golf to end the round, I mean, he still finished top 10, you know? And so, I mean, that tells you about the kind of staying power that a guy like Scottie Scheffler has.
And okay, so I want to go back to our challenge. He's one of three on majors. Are we all the way through? Have we had all four? Have we just
all
had
four
three?
Of them.
So he's one of four. Yeah. And what did we, when we went back to that bet, when we said, how would you fare if you just bet Scheffler and all the majors? Wasn't he 3-1 or like 3.5-1, 3.5-1, something like that?
Yeah.
So it would not have paid. It would not have paid to bet Scheffler and all the majors this year, which is crazy because it looked like he was going to win all of them there for a little while. But if you bet him in every tournament, that might be a different story. You'd probably be a little closer to it, but that is something to watch and maybe something that I'll actually do next year. So now we just kind of ride it out to the end of the golf season, right? That's it. We get the FedEx Cup thing and then that's another golf season in the books.
Well, you got more than that. You've got the Olympics coming up. Right. And so of course you've got golf in the Olympics.
Who are we sending?
I mean, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele. So those two guys are representing the U.S. I think that there are a couple of other Americans that are in the field for the U.S. And then the President's Cup, that will be taking place in September. So you've got the U.S. taking on the international team. So it's basically everybody but Europe. So you've got Canada, you've got Australia, you've got South America, Mexico, basically everybody but Europe that the U.S. will compete against in that President's Cup that takes place in September. But then, of course, yeah, you've got the FedEx Cup, the Tour Championship, all of that will also be coming down the wire.
But is the Olympics, and I don't remember paying attention ever, is this first year of the Olympic golf? Like, how big a deal is the Olympic golf? You know, we're not locked into team. It feels like the Ryder Cup's a bigger deal, but are the Olympics a bigger deal?
No, I wouldn't say it's a bigger deal, but I mean, an Olympic gold medal for your country. That's a major deal, right?
This isn't a me thing. What would you rather have? You're a golf fan. I'll ask it that way. What would you rather have, an Olympic gold medal for Team USA or a Ryder Cup win for Team USA?
As a fan, I'd rather have a U.S. Ryder Cup win.
That's what I think.
I think for a golfer though, I don't know. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, the gold medal, you only get a chance at it like, every 4 years. Yeah. But you know, like I'm talking about as a fan. That's what I meant, though. As a fan, what do you think fans want more, the Ryder Cup win or the Olympic gold?
If you are U.S. or Europe, probably Ryder Cup. If you are another part of the country, probably gold medal another part of the world, probably gold medal because the Ryder Cup is limited to U.S. and Europe. You know, so I think that probably plays a part in it as well. Scottie Scheffler in the Olympic field, Rory McIlroy in the Olympic field, Xander Schauffele.
But those guys don't all get to team up against us in the Olympics, right? They got to play for their own country. It's not a Europe thing.
I'm looking off the field for the Olympics. John Rahm representing Spain. Colin Morikawa is in the U.S. field. You know, Jason Day representing Australia.
I mean, we ought to crush them, right? There's no country that's going to, maybe England would, I would imagine the U.S. is odds on favorite and England would be second. Don't you think?
You know, maybe, I mean, but that's the thing is that this is individual. Like it's, you know, who's going to win the gold medal individually.
Oh, so, really?
I mean, like Xander Schauffele is already a gold medal winner.
How is there not a team? There's gotta be a team medal for that though. Doesn't there? Forgive my ignorance for not knowing Olympic golf. How would there not be a team medal for that? Well, then that changes everything. That changes it a lot. If there's not a team.
My understanding is it's all individual based.
Yeah, no, like, I'm looking at it. I think you're right. Huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's dumb. They should make a team medal. Why wouldn't they make a team medal for that? Like they do every other sport. I guess they don't do it all sports. That's tough. I'd like to see that as a team sport, but okay. Well, now it gets, so you got Scheffler and Schauffele, two Americans at the top, three out of the top four would be Americans. McIlroy and
Schauffele's won a gold medal. I mean, he won it like the last time that they did the Olympics. What was that, in 21 when it was postponed?
Forgive my ignorance on that, everybody, but I think most people out there are like me. We're uneducated on Olympic golf. Don't judge. All right? It's been a while. It's been 4 years since we've had this thing. But that's coming up along with the rest of the Olympics. We're going to come back. We're going to check in from Chiefs camp in St. Joe. TJ Cleland of 12 News will join us in our very first video interview on the stream here for video. We're going to test it out next on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.